Good evening, Rabbi Mayevsky. Tonight's shiur is being learned L'zecha Nishmas Yitzhok Shlomo ben Arav Kolonimus Kalman. May the neshama have an aliyah. The parsha is double parsha. It's the longest laning this week. And it's very interesting because we're beginning to have halachas that we've never had heretofore, and we might wonder why. In other words, they learned all 613 mitzvahs at Sinai, but the fact remains, many of them have to be relearned. It's a new generation. And the interesting thing is, at this point in time, the first one we have in this parasha is all about being matan neder. Somebody makes a promise. And as we see, the reason that Moshe is going through all of these things at this point in time to be matan neder is, as we know, before people go into battle, a lot of times we make promises when we're in a dire situation. We try to make promises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, please God, if you let me come home safe, I'll do this and I'll do that. And then sometimes we forget. I've heard people come to me and with their stories, you know, being a rabbi all these years, and you hear a lot of stories and they don't know what to do. And sometimes it's a very difficult situation. It can't always be matan neder. There are certain rules and regulations and certain you have to keep it. And people, God is aware of, Moshe is aware of all the situations now. People are going to war and they're a little bit afraid. The interesting thing that we get to right away is that Moshe was hoping, since God told him to go to war, that maybe he forgot about his decree not to let Moshe go into Eretz Yisrael. But of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael, achar te'yosef el amecha, and then you will go, you will leave us at this point in time, go to with your forefathers, and that's the way it's going to be. But first, we have this battle to take. And of course, the interesting thing is over here, where God tells Moshe to choose Elef Lamateh, Elef Lamateh, only 1,000 for each tribe. And it's a very interesting thought process of why God would do this, tell him only to take 1,000. I might have mentioned last week, it was sort of like a boost for Klal Yisrael, perhaps, to know that we only need 1,000 from each tribe to go to war, because as we mentioned, that God knows that everybody's coming home, and it's to show that when God is behind you, all things are possible. Even if it's a great army that you're going against, we only need, even one soldier could do the job, because I will hand the military into your hands. But there's another thing at hand over here that we have to look beyond over here. And what the thought occurred to me is that perhaps, since what God wants to accomplish over here is that the purpose of going to war with Midian, of course, is to avenge, of course, the honor of God, but as well, God says he wants you to avenge your own honor, because these Midianim caused the death of 24,700 people from B'nai Israel, which is no small thing, and they have to avenge their honor at this point in time. But the problem is, we have something else at hand here. We have to deal with the fact that when they come back with the spoils of war and all the spoils of war, we'll get to the B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven shortly. But when we get to the point over here, it's very interesting that perhaps because of the bloodletting over here, and it's not just that they're going to kill so many people for Midian, but it's the age group that they're going to have to slaughter. When in the end of Chukas, when they had war with Sichon, they killed the men and came home. But when they come home now, Moshe reminds them, you let the women live, you let the women and children, the women over 3 years old, I told you to kill all of them. And the problem is over here is, as we fully know full well, God perhaps did not want to subject all of Klal Yisrael to the terrible situation of having to go through the slaughter of all of these people to kill them, especially when they came home and then they had to do it. It would be on the surface. People would tell us, and I've had people tell me, of course, this was just wholesale murder. But of course, we can't ask questions when it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. And Moshe tells them that you have to kill all of the women and anyone over 3 years old. There's going to be a lot of children that are being killed over here. Very unpleasant situation. And God did not want to subject so many people, all the soldiers of Klal Yisrael, to the fact of having to deal with the slaughter of so many. You have to protect. The United States, we don't appreciate. We fought so many wars, and the only war that was fought on American soil was obviously the Civil War. But since then, all the battles that we've had from World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, Afghanistan, Iran, Iraq, all these wars that we've had have all been fought overseas. And we haven't experienced the bloodletting, unfortunately, that the people in Europe and Asia have experienced. We don't get to see it, and we have a more sheltered life. And it creates a different attitude among the people growing up, especially the younger people who don't have to grow up with that trauma that they've been through. And God did not want Bnei Yisrael to have the experience of that trauma, make it as little as possible. And this way, from an army of 603,000, this way only 12,000 soldiers would have to have this experience. And the godless of them is that even though the soldiers have the right to keep all the booty that they bring home from the war, but they realize that that it's not theirs because they represent their tribes of 600 or 3,000. And Moshe was very impressed with that. They bring it back to Elazar and Yoshua, and they bring it back and say, perhaps we have to divide this evenly, and they do. The interesting thing at this point in time is we get to the story after all of this is taken care of and they divide up the spoils of war and they take a head count, and it says that B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven have all this cattle. The truth of the matter is that if it was divided evenly, and I'm sure it was, according to the Shevet, the numbers of the Shevet, they divided it accordingly, then all the animals and all the spoils of war, if they were divided evenly, why would B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven have any more concerns about everybody else? Do you think that God would allow this to happen, to go into the land of Israel and not have grazing land for everybody? So their concern for the Miknei Rav, and they asked Moshe that here is great grazing land. And of course, if you notice that the language used of Miknei Rav, Hayol Levnei Reuven, Levnei God, and then it says Eretz Miknei Hu, and then it says Eretz Miknei Hu. It's a land of Miknei, and it's a Mokom Miknei. The difference is there are places that have a lot of shepherds, and there are people, there are places that have great grazing land. But here was both, as it says, because it uses both terminology. In Eretz Yisrael, though, everybody had the same opportunity, would have the land. God would only give that amount of cattle for all the people, and therefore God would not allow all of this land not to be enough grazing land for all the animals. So their concern would seem to be to fall on deaf ears. One of the questions that some of the commentaries ask is that then why wouldn't they go now that Yoshua was appointed by Moshe Rabbeinu to be in charge instead of Moshe, or certainly at this point in time only second in command? How come they didn't approach Yoshua? Because they obviously knew B'nai Gad, B'nai Reuven, if they approached Yoshua, Yoshua being one of the two Meraglim with Kalev, who would certainly be throw his hands in the air and say, absolutely nothing doing, this is not going to happen. And so therefore they approached Moshe. Why would they approach Moshe particularly? Because since Moshe was going to die, Avra Yardane, and this was the last stop for Klal Yisrael at this point in time, they weren't moving anymore. when they came back from battle, this was where the place that Moshe would die. And perhaps they figured that if Moshe would have the opportunity to set up the Ari Miklat at this point in time, as we know Chazal tell us, and B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain would live here permanently, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, as we see later, then Moshe would be more in line to say okay, because at least he would be buried among 2.5 Shvatim. Very interesting. But a thought occurred to me beyond this over here is that since I just mentioned that everybody had the same amount of cattle and their claim to want better grazing land for their cattle over here was a smokescreen, because as I mentioned, God did not want to expose, especially now after all of these, what happened now is that they had to kill all these women and children in what would appear to be cold-blooded murder, even though it was expected. God gave them the command. Moshe told them that they had to do this. But now that they were going into battle, when they would cross over into the land of Eretz Yisrael, there's another thing. They would have 7 years of battle. And B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain were perhaps concerned with the exposure to their wives and children of all of this mayhem, all of these 7 years of battle, even though they would be successful, but they did not want their children exposed to 7 years of battle. And if they could leave them behind in Chutz La'aretz and have all the battles done inside of Eretz Yisrael, away from their families who were sheltered outside the land, outside of Eretz Yisrael, outside of Canaan, it would be a benefit for them to lead a more sheltered life and not to be exposed and not to need a greater level of counseling, so to speak. Imagine the counseling that the people in Eretz Yisrael are going through, the soldiers that B'nai Yisrael have lost now in the last year, and all the trauma that the families have that lost, all of these things that have happened. We have to take that into account. The B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain did not want their families exposed to that and see it. And they would come home and the parents, the families would not be exposed to the battles and suffer the losses in front of their own eyes. And we see that, as I mentioned before, when we live in this country safe and sound, could you imagine if rockets were being fired from Mexico into the land, what America would do and how our psyches would be affected by all of these things and what the trauma that the Israelis have to be going through. We have to thank God that we're not exposed to all of these things. And God understands that. And that's why the Ari Miklat, as what God wants to sue and what Moshe is concerned about, is that he knows that if we do things for the honor of God and we are feel that God is working for us, we will adjust and accept it in a more peaceful way. And the message for that is that when they set up the Ari Miklat, if you notice from the six cities that are done, if there are 9.5 tribes in the land of Canaan, in the land of Eretz Israel, one would think that even though there were 4 Ari Miklat in Chutz La'aretz and only 2 in Eretz Israel from those six, you would think, 3 and 3, that you should think that at least there should be 4 and 2, 4 in Eretz Israel. But the fact is that the Jews, if they have 9.5 tribes living in the land of Eretz Israel, they're more insulated living amongst their own, and they won't be exposed to outside influences. But living in Chutz La'aretz, what B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain were only thinking of the present, and the mistake was that they weren't thinking about the future. And what the future would hold is they were living 2.5 Shvatim exposed over a greater landmass with Goyim surrounding them, and they would be influenced by them. And therefore, they would end up to be more violent people, and they would have to endure a greater level of necessity for Ari Miklat. And sometimes we have to think of, while what's expedient at the moment is not always what we do, Chachamena Barosha, we have to try to have our forward thinking of what things will be in the future. It's a very difficult conscious decision to make, to think about when we do something so important as what they were about to embark upon. Very difficult decision. B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven made that decision. And because of that as well, we could now understand what Moshe is. When Moshe gave the brachas to the Shvatim at the end of his life in Zos HaBracha, he said, Yechi Reuven v'al yomos v'hi misav mispar, because he knew that Reuven living amongst the other nations in Chutz La'aretz, being spread out thin amongst the other worldly nations, not insulated with the rest of Klal Yisrael, he would have to grow greatly in number to be equal to the people living around him. And he should, Yechi Reuven v'al yomos, he should live and be well, v'hi misav mispar, and he should grow mightily in numbers so that he could occupy a greater land of territory, and the more people from Shevet Reuven, the greater security he would have. And Legod Amar Baruch Marchiv God, they're living there also that they should wax and grow. Baruch Marchiv God, they should, their land should expand, that they need even more land, which God would give them if the Shvatim would grow and occupy a greater territory, so that they're not as exposed to the influence of Goyim. And that was what it said. The interesting thing is the end of the pasuk that Moshe gives to God is Tzidkas Hashem Oso Mishpatav Yisrael. Because what do we know when God, when Moshe came back and the answer that God told them they could live in the land of, they could live Chutz Eiver, they could live Eiver HaYarden in Transjordan on one condition, that they go and fight with their brethren. Not only did they say they will go for the 7 years of battle, will fight with them, but it would also remain for the seven following years that it would take to be Chalukos HaOretz. So Tzidkas Hashem Oso, the tzedakah was that they added on to what God said to them. God gave them the commandment to fight the battles through Moshe, but they agreed to not only do those 7 years, but the seven more years, Mishpatav in Yisrael, so that Yisrael would be, they wouldn't feel ostracized from Klal Yisrael. They understood that if they wanted to remain part of the nation, they would have to act in concert with their brethren. And that is what is up to us. Wherever we are spread out all over the world, those of us in Eretz Yisrael, those of us in Chutz La'aretz, in wherever we are in Australia, we have to act in concert. And that is the only way that we can survive. And it's not, therefore, not just Baruch Marchiv God and Yivihi Misav Mispar, not just for Shevet Reuven and Shevet Gad, but the bracha is for all of Klal Yisrael. Have a good week, and maybe this be the last time that we have to endure the coming of the 9 days in Tisha B'Av. Thank you and good evening.